We're going to look at Daniel chapter 5, and so there's Bibles underneath the chairs in front of you, and it's page 1340, if you want to use one of those. Or if you have your own Bible or your own electronic device that has a Bible on it, it is Daniel chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verse 1. Daniel chapter 5, page 1340, beginning in verse number 1. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles, and drank wine with them. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. As they drank the wine, they praised the god of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. So here's the setting for what's about to happen. King Belshazzar was having a royal feast. He had 1,000 people with him, celebrating for probably no really good reason, but other than just to celebrate and to show off his wealth. So he wants to think through, okay, what gods have we defeated recently? Or what gods have we defeated? What gods are lesser than our Babylonian gods? And he remembers about these gold goblets and silver goblets that his grandfather, actually, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken from Jerusalem, from the temple of the one true God. And he said, well, let's bring those out and really show people that this God has been defeated by our Babylonian gods. He remembers these from Solomon's temple, and he wants to really just the nail on the head. So basically, he's going against God and he's rubbing this into their faces to those that follow. You think your God is so great? Well, look at us in our revelry here. We're going to be drinking out of these supposedly sacred goblets that we took from your God. Now remember, one of the major themes that we see in Daniel is that God is in control and God is sovereign and God is the one who gave the kings their kingdoms. And so God responds to this blatant public offense in a rather strange way. Verse 5. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way. The king called out for the enchanters, astrologers, and diviners to be brought and said to these wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around his neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom. Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. So King Belshazzar became even more terrified, and his face grew more pale. His nobles were baffled. This is a mood killer. Okay, if you're having a party, reveling in the fact that you beat all these other gods by your gods, and all of a sudden a hand starts writing strange symbols on your wall, your party's over. Okay, they are freaking out. His knees are knocking together. He is afraid of what this might mean. He calls all the nobles together. Does this sound familiar from what King Nebuchadnezzar did earlier with his dreams? He calls all his noblemen together and says, what does this mean? He says, whoever gets this right will be made third highest in all the kingdom. And that was because he was already the second highest in the kingdom. His father was actually the head honcho. And so this would give him third highest in all the land. As happened with Nebuchadnezzar, though, the wise men are stumped. No one has any idea what this writing means. Picking up in verse 10. The queen, hearing the voices of the king and his nobles, came into the banquet hall. So for some reason, the queen wasn't invited to this party. O king, live forever, she said. Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, I say, appointed him chief of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. This man Daniel, whom the king called Belshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means. Now, we don't know why Daniel wasn't already included in this group. The best guess is that he was semi-retired at this point. The estimate is that he was 81 years old at this time in his life, and so he had been well out of service at this point. But the king's mother, who was a daughter of Nebuchadnezzar, remembered Daniel. Verse 13, so Daniel was brought before the king, and the king said to him, are you Daniel, one of the exiles my father, the king, brought from Judah? I have heard that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that you have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom. The wise men and enchanters were brought before me to read this writing and tell me what it means, but they could not explain it. Now I have heard that you are able to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around your neck, and you will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom. So the same offer to him. So Daniel answered the king, you may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means. O king, the Most High God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. Because of the high position he gave him, all the peoples and nations and men of every language dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven, until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets over them anyone he wishes. But you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from the temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives, and your concubines drank wine from them. You praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Therefore he sent the hand that wrote the inscription. This is the inscription that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, pausin. This is what these words mean. Mene, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and been found wanting. Peres, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. So Daniel, in this setting, is being fairly bold to the king. He starts with a little vignette, a little sermon, a little reminder. You know what really is going on here, because you have just insulted the one true God, the God that your grandfather Nebuchadnezzar also insulted. And what his punishment was for 7 years he worked around and lived like an animal. So you did not acknowledge Yahweh, the one true God, and you're now following the path and the example of your grandfather. You're focusing on gods made of silver, bronze, gold, iron, wood, and stone. And he points out that these images are nothing. They can't hear him. They can't understand him. They can't talk to him. It's like talking to a chair. If I was to say, oh, chair, thank you for being here. Thank you for having such a wonderful day today. You'd probably put me on a bus to Larned, right? Okay? The chair is nothing. These idols, these gods that they're worshiping, are nothing. Yet clearly, you're not following the one true God. Now, the words written on the wall could have meant a number of different things. They're probably units of measure. And so you get some different, if you put the vowels in different places, you can get a mina, a shekel, and a half shekel. And so clearly none of the wise men knew what this was, what this meant. Daniel comes in and puts the vowel points in different places and is able to come up with the true meaning of the message. So we see again Daniel making a bold and courageous choice to tell the truth. Because would you, as a regular citizen, want to go tell the king or the president that the kingdom is going to collapse and you're going to die? Don't shake your head. Yes. Oh, my heavens. Okay? Standing in front of him one-on-one when he has the power to kill you, you probably don't want to tell the supreme ruler that he's going to die and his kingdom is going to collapse. Yet Daniel does that. He stands boldly and tells the king, this is what it means. He's definitely not going to want to hear that the Medes and the Persians are going to take over his kingdom. Yet Daniel is bold and tells the truth, and the king responds in a way that I didn't expect him to respond when I read this the first time. He says then in verse 29, at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple, a gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. He does what he said he was going to do, but there's still no sign of repentance here. Just business as usual, doing what he said. And that very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. Now this is obviously a different King Darius than the one that we dealt with in chapter 1, and it's probably another guy who's taking on the title of Darius, kind of like Caesar would have taken on Caesar. With the kingdom of Babylon falling to the Persians, we see that this second kingdom that we talked about in that tower of dream, where we had the different kingdoms, we see the second kingdom coming to fruition. God is not going to be trifled with any longer by this king and by this kingdom. His judgment was final, and no one was going to be able to stop him. And Daniel had to be bold enough to tell the king what he did not want to hear. Courageous Christ followers, those of us that choose to follow Christ, have to be willing to be bold. Think about for a minute in your life someone that you know who is bold. Maybe you think of it in a negative sense, but try to think of someone who's bold in a positive sense. Maybe someone you know personally, or know someone that you know just as a celebrity or something in your life, someone that you think of as bold. And now turn to someone near you in our attempt to be more interactive and not monological, and tell them who you thought of and someone there that you think of as bold. Go ahead and turn to a partner. Tell them who you think of as someone who is bold. Who are some of the people that you came up with? Let's get rid of the joke ones first. I heard Lady Gaga. Okay. Now, who do you think of? Madison, who did you think of? You? Okay, good. Who else did you come up with? Your mother? Someone's pointing to his wife? Your dad? Brother? Billy? And what about them makes them bold to you? What characteristics do they have? What did they do? What are their actions that they do that make you think this person is being bold? Outspoken? Creative? Hardworking? Fought for his country? Tell it like it is, even when people don't want to hear it. Being willing to speak. When we are following Daniel's example and being bold followers of Christ, we're living the life that we were meant to live. Think of yourself now. Would you think of yourself as being bold? And being bold, the definition is not hesitating or fearful in the face of actual or possible danger. Not hesitating, not being fearful in the face of actual or possible danger. That's what Daniel was doing. He was standing firm in the face of actual danger. And when push comes to shove, the question is, are you willing to stand firm in the face of actual or perceived danger? Are you willing to stand firm and be bold when someone is bad-mouthing your faith? Are you willing to stand and be firm and be bold if someone's bad-mouthing your family, your friends, your church, your God? We are called as followers of Christ to be bold. And so I want to encourage you to think about that. Think about those people that you mentioned. And think about, how can I leave this place today and live a life of boldness? Will you pray with me? God, I thank you that you have given us the Bible and your word to us. I thank you that we have Daniel as an example of so many things, God, but today we think of his boldness. And I pray, Father, that as we leave this place today, you would keep in the forefront of our mind the fact that you have called us to be bold, especially when it comes to our faith. I pray that in those difficult situations that we all face, Father, that you would just fill us with the power of your Spirit and give us the boldness of Daniel. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button, or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.